all doom and gloom theme. And during August, four women, as I said in the announcements, will be giving their testimonies and hopefully showing for them how following God ain't all doom and gloom. I don't know if you've noticed, but very often when people talk about Christians, and I'm talking about unbelievers, they think that when you become a Christian, somehow your sense of humour was taken up to heaven, you know, and you were left here dour, you know, as if God doesn't have a sense of humour, so therefore none of his people will have a sense of humour. And that's not the case. Following God ain't all doom and gloom. We do have our sufferings and our trials and tribulations. Hopefully Julie and Linda and Shirley and Naomi will be able to share in their testimonies how walking with God is meaningful in their lives. And also during July and during July Sundays and Wednesday nights, we're looking at the theme of show us your glory in healings. Asking the Lord, basically because we're powerless to do anything about the amount of sickness that there is in Shiloh, bar pray, which is what we have been doing, and anointing people with oil and all of these different things. But we're saying to the Lord, you know what, Lord? We can't do anything here. It has to be the Spirit of God. So we want to learn to rely upon the Spirit of God and see what he's doing, so that when he shows us what he's doing, we might do it too. And that's what Jesus says, greater works will you do. So our reading this evening is from Mark chapter 16, and you're probably sick to death hearing these words, but I want you to hear them again. Jesus is speaking, and he said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Now, I just want to put a wee note in there for the purpose of the podcast and maybe this live stream. Shiloh Christian Fellowship does not believe that it's absolutely essential for a person to be baptized to be saved. We know that some people do believe that nonsense. It's not true. What we believe is that baptism is a wonderful first step in that sense for somebody who has got saved to think about moving forward in their walk with God, but it's not essential towards salvation. So getting back to what Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Let me just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we can't manufacture anything tonight. We can't twist your arm up your back and make you move. We can't burst into tears and try to emotionally blackmail you to do anything. We can simply believe your word and ask you to do, Lord God, what you say you will do. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to hear this again in my words. Jesus said to his disciples, "I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever doesn't believe will be lost." Right? So you've heard that. And then he says this about those who believe. They will cast out demons. They will speak. Everybody thinks this is the disciples. It's those who believe, having been preached the gospel to. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, there's a lot of debate about the verses here in Mark's Gospel from verse 9 to verse 20 of Mark's Gospel. But several early manuscripts undoubtedly contain these words. And Matthew 28 basically says the same thing. It's known as the Great Commission. That's what we've called it, the Great Commission. When Jesus commissions or authorizes his disciples to go into the world and make known the gospel. Basically, as I said before, he authorizes us with all of authority in heaven and earth that he has been given. He says, "Go you therefore and do all of these things." So he has authorized us, commissioned us to go and do these things. Now, for those who are listening on Sunday morning talks, you may think that I'm going over the same old ground here as Sunday mornings, but I'm not, because I need you to bear with me here this evening. Jesus was absolutely clear about what his disciples would do and what would happen. Go into the world and preach the gospel. The disciples were told, go and do this. Proclaim, herald, gospel, good message. That's what he said. Go and tell all of the people, everywhere, in every town, every city, every village, everywhere that I send you, go and tell them this good message, this good news. Proclaim it, herald it, make it known. And Jesus says, whoever believes it, whoever believes this good message, and is baptized, and this is where people get into this thinking, oh, you have to be baptized. Whoever believes the gospel they preach and is baptized will be saved. And the interesting word here is will be safe. We always talk about being saved. But you could just as easily say, because of Jesus, I have been made safe. And that means safe from the coming judgment of God upon the sin in this world. Jesus is clear, this is what would happen. Believers, if they believe the gospel, the good message, would be safe from the coming judgment. Then he says, whoever does not believe will be condemned. In fact, John says they're condemned already. That's those who do not have faith, those who do not believe the good message. Again, Jesus is clear, those who reject the gospel will not be saved, but they are condemned. And the word here is damned. And this is not some sort of Stephen King horror movie. This is reality here. This is for eternity. Damned. That is what God's word says. And then, because of preaching the gospel, signs, and the word here for this is indications, supernatural indications would follow those who believe. There would be the casting out of demons. They would speak in new tongues. They would take up serpents. Sounds a bit mad. What does that actually mean? Until you read about Paul in the book of Acts, who was bit by a snake and he just shook it off into the fire, and everybody thought he was going to die and he didn't. He got about his business. They will not be harmed if they drink any deadly thing. Not sure what that one was about. And they will lay their hands on the sick and they might recover. They what, Nolene? Exactly. It doesn't say they will lay their hands on the sick and there's a slim chance that they might get better. It says they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Notice what Jesus says. They, the believers, will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. They will be strengthened. They will have health, is the term. So off went the disciples to fulfill the great commission given by Jesus. And although he had ascended himself back to heaven, we're clearly told that he, the Lord from heaven, was working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. These things were happening. It all seems so simple, doesn't it? You know, you sort of think, you know, if that was us on the hillside in Galilee or whatever else, and Jesus was there and said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel, and we go, we wouldn't be surprised to see that when we prayed for the sick, that they got better. When people became believers, that we encouraged them to go and pray for the sick and to lay their hands on them, and they got better. You know, we wouldn't be taken by surprise. But yet, 2017, the Lord is still saying, with all of the authority of heaven and earth that I have, I'm giving it to you, and I'm saying to you, go into all the world and preach this good message, lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. All so simple. Preach the gospel as Jesus commanded, and he will work with his disciples, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. You see, as I said, the purpose of our July Sunday and Wednesday nights focus is to humbly ask the Lord to show us his glory in healing. It is Jesus who has commissioned us to go and preach the gospel, and he has promised he will be with us and will work with us to confirm his word through the accompanying signs. Do you get this? We're called to go and pray. We're called to go and preach. We're called to go and do all of these things. And Jesus will do all of these other things. It is a work of God. It's not a work of us. That would be a work of the flesh. Keith showed over 2 weeks how a person's greatest need is for spiritual healing, which is why Jesus says, go and preach the good message. Go and preach the gospel first. Because fundamentally, the greatest healing that any person needs is spiritual. They are dead to God. They are cut off from the life of God. They are without hope and without Christ in this world. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. They are spiritually defunct. And the greatest healing is when the Spirit of God moves and quickens their spirit to life. In that sense, if you could translate that physically, it is basically raising someone from the dead. Spiritual healing is so important. But Keith also explained that there are so many other types and forms of healing. There's the spiritual, there's the psychosomatic, there's the emotional, there's the mental, and there's the physical. Jesus commissioned or authorized his disciples to follow his example, go out and preach the gospel and heal the sick. He promised if they preached the gospel, he would accompany the preached word with signs and wonders. Hear that? I'm going to say this again. Jesus promised, absolutely guarantees, if you want to believe the promises of God, you can't cherry pick and say, well, I'm not going to believe that one, but I'll believe this one, or I'll believe this one, but not that one. Jesus promised, if his disciples preached the gospel, he would accompany the preached word with signs and wonders. Do we believe this? Right, I'll say it again. Jesus promised, absolutely promised, if we preach the gospel, he would accompany the preached word with signs and wonders. I have a foster son who's got me into Amazon TV at the moment. He bought this Fire Stick thing. And he's got me into watching this thing called The Preacher. I do not recommend it if you're a sensitive wee Christian. But I've been watching it, and it's mad, absolutely bonkers, but it's really good. And The Preacher at the moment is in turmoil because God is missing, and they don't know where he is. So you've got this preacher who's looking for God, you've got a vampire who's coming alongside the preacher looking for God, and you've got this wayward woman who used to be the partner of the preacher who's still trying to have intimate relationships with him, all on in a search for God because God is missing. And I'm sitting watching and saying, do you know what, God, when it comes to healing, that's exactly what I think. I think you're missing because we are not seeing it happening. And I'm saying, Lord, do I need to go on some pursuit here? You know, do I need to go and hit a bottle of whiskey a night like this preacher? You know, do I need to find a vampire that will be a good companion to run about with? Or this sort of, you know, bothered woman to help me in my pursuit of God? Do I see if I can find him, see where he is? Because when it comes to healing, God seems like he's missing. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Here in a verse is the good message. Here in one verse is the gospel in a nutshell. For God, salvation always starts and ends with God. For God so loved the world. God loves you. God loves me. God loves everyone in this world so much that he gave. And again, here you see God making the first move. God takes the initiative and selflessly gave a gift to the world. To the world that was in rebellion against him, to the world that was opposed to him, to the world that were enemies of him, God gave a gift. His only begotten Son. That's Jesus, who came into the world and died to pay the price for our sin, our rebellion against God. And the purpose of this, that whosoever believes in him, that means absolutely anyone. Anyone who believes, anyone who has faith in Jesus, shall not perish, shall not die and go to hell, but have everlasting life, shall live forever with God. Now, this is not complicated. Here it is in my language. God loves us so much, he sent his Son Jesus to die in our place for our sin, so that if we believe in Jesus, we shall be safe from the coming judgment against sin and have everlasting life. This is the gospel. This is the simple message. This is the good message Jesus sent his disciples into the world with, saying, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. This is the same gospel we are to preach to others. And if they believe and are baptized, they too shall be saved. And Jesus promised. You see, if you want to accept John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that includes you, believes in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you want to believe that you shall not perish and have everlasting life, you have to believe the promise of Jesus, which is this, that he would work with his disciples, that's us, and confirm his word by the accompanying signs. Now, with so many people in Shiloh experiencing sickness and ailments, and all types of healings are needed, we in leadership took the decision that we will keep on preaching the gospel. But you know what? It's over to Jesus now. It's over to Jesus now. But what about you, Christian? Do you believe the promises of the Lord? Or do you cherry pick the ones that you want to believe? Jesus promises, whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But the same Jesus promises that if you go out and preach the gospel, if you go out and make known the good news, if you lay your hands on the sick, they will recover. And he promises that he will work with us with all of these signs and these wonders. I believe him. I sometimes, as I said, think, Lord, when it comes to healing, you're on the missing list. But I believe in suddenlies. And I believe that we cannot make God move before his time. But when he does, we will know. And so tonight, for the purpose of the podcast, for the unbeliever who may be listening, I need to make very, very clear to you that your greatest need is for spiritual healing. Without that healing, you're dead to God. You are dead in your spirit. And only the Lord can give you life. And maybe you're listening to the podcast as a non-believer and you know that you're sick and you need healing. Well, the spiritual healing comes first. Any other healing can be done in Jesus' name. But that's up to Jesus, because it's him who said he would accompany the preaching of the word with signs and wonders. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll be opening a time to the Spirit of God to see what he wants to do this evening. I'll talk more as soon as I've finished praying. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight, we thank you for the simple good message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. that he came into this world because of the Father's love. A love for us, Lord God, that wanted to rescue us. A love, Lord God, that says, whosoever believes in Jesus shall be safe from the coming judgment and shall have life forevermore. This is really good news, Lord. And we thank you for your truth. And as we turn now, Lord God, to this short time in waiting on the Spirit of God, we ask, Lord, that you would do what you've promised and accompany your word with signs and wonders for your glory, Lord. Amen.